It's so good to come from Sabbath to Sabbath to meet with people that maybe you haven't seen through the week, you may have not seen for a month or two, to know that you're there and you still believe and hold to the truths found in the Word of God. We're living in a world that is changing so quickly that people are losing their way. We're seeing a lot of things happening. You know, I just want to begin with a short prayer, if I may. Heavenly Father, it is a joy and a privilege to meet with you in your place of worship on this, your Sabbath day. You've given it to us, Lord, to help us to remember you. You are the Creator God. You made us. You sustain us. And you give us a calling to help others to know the joy and the truths that we know. So I pray this morning, Father, as we look in your word, it will reach into our hearts and we will find joy. Help me to speak clearly and plainly, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I see, I hope you see, Bible prophecy is accurately and rapidly being fulfilled. Satan is working with increased vigor, with all manner of evil rising all around us. And humanism, did you hear what I said? Humanism brings in a godless society. You only have to look at the statistics that you've seen in Australia, let alone all around the world. Humanism excludes God. We become gods. We are in control, not him. You know, as we see the storms approaching all around us, choose to make every Sabbath, and I mean that with all sincerity, because you don't know how many more Sabbaths you will enjoy, and take every occasion to encourage one another. You see, we have to start here. This is our place of learning. This is a place where we practice what we preach with one another. Encourage one another to be faithful. There's a lot of reasons that, you know, there's a lot of things set out there in the world that is discouraging many people in God's church. Pray for one another and anyone who is hurting. And I want to tell you, there are people hurting in this church today, right now. And we need to let them know that we care for them. You know how we let people know we care for them? I want to tell you something. You can say all the sweet words. You can say what you think are the right words. But I want to tell you, actions speak louder than words. You know what you do? If you know someone is hurting, visit them. Encourage them. If they are struggling to look after themselves or look after their homes, go there and help them. Because you need to know something. We're approaching the time where Christians will be persecuted. And if you don't know one another, if you don't know one another who you can trust, where will you go? Who will you turn to? So practice it now. Sabbath is a time where you can get to know one another. Just don't say hello. How did you go this week? See you next Sabbath. I remember when I came out of the world and was baptized and I attended church, I was a little bit shocked because in that church, after 6 months, I didn't have one friend and I tried to make friends. You know, we are so busy. We truly are. We're so busy in maintaining our own interests, we forget about the others who may be new in the faith, who need encouragement, who need support. So I encourage you, make every Sabbath from today a time where you can share and help one another. We need to be sharing the Bible truths. And I was so encouraged. You who weren't here this morning for Sabbath school missed out on the testimony of these young people. You know, our job, seriously, is to help others to know Jesus and to tell them that Jesus is soon to return and encourage them to respond to the invitation of mercy and be saved to dwell with him eternally. Do you realize how close we are to eternity? Your neighbors, the people who live next door to you, are relying on you. You who are to be the light of the world, to be the light in your community, to tell them about Jesus. You know, I think back in 1844 when they were all telling everyone, the people were doing all sorts of things. There was enthusiasm that Jesus was going to return. But there was a disappointment. There was a disappointment. The date was right, but the event was wrong. But we can be assured we are the generation, you and I, every one of us sitting here, young and old, that will see the coming of Jesus. And I say that with certainty. Friends, we have a message to share. Can someone say amen? Amen. We do. We have a message to share. I'm not used to using a computer very much, but I want to just share with you this. Just this week, actually yesterday, as I was going through the sermon and thinking, I asked the Lord to bring something pertinent up for the sermon because I want to know that this is the message that you want to share with me, with you today and me. And so as we were reading through our devotional, and I'd encourage all of you here, mums and dads, the first thing we do when we wake up is we get on our knees and we pray. And then we read a whole series of things. We read the Bible. It's imperative every day to read the Bible. It's imperative to pray. But we have decided in our years of marriage that we will read through the books of the Spirit of Prophecy. And over 30 years, we have not failed to do that every morning. And so we were reading in the book Patriarchs and Prophets in chapter 22. It's on the chapter on Nineveh. And we know who Nineveh was involved. It was Noah. Lot. Jonah. I got it right. Okay. And in there, the very last page of that story, I came across this. And as I read it, I thought, thank you, God. I just can't believe this. I don't read it to you. I want you to listen. I want you to think about it. God's message for the inhabitants of earth today is, be ye ready also, for in such as hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's Matthew 24:44. The conditions prevailing in society, now listen to this, the conditions prevailing in society and especially in the great cities of the nations proclaim in thunder tones that the hour of God's judgment is come, and that the end of all things earthly is at hand. We are standing on the threshold of the crisis of the ages. In quick succession, listen carefully, don't sleep. In quick succession, the judgments of God will flow, one after another. Did you hear what Rosemary sang? Fire, flood, and earthquake, with war and bloodshed. We are not to be surprised at this time by events both great and decisive, for the angel of mercy cannot remain much longer to shelter the impenitent. Behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Isaiah 26, verse 21. The storm of God's wrath is gathering, and those only will stand who respond to the invitation of mercy, as the inhabitants of Nineveh under the preaching of Jonah, and become sanctified through obedience to the laws of the divine ruler. The righteous alone shall be hid with Christ in God till the desolation be overpassed. Let the language of the soul be, O refuge, have I none. Hang my helpless soul on thee. leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. We are in a situation. We are right in the precipice of the judgments that are taking place. What have we experienced in Australia and, in fact, all around the world? Fire, floods, earthquakes, every manner of thing is before us. Friends, we have a message to share. Do you agree? All of us, like the Ninevites, the ungodly Ninevites, they were barbaric. What they did to one another when they excluded God is really something we haven't seen anything like. But they were like, and when Jonah preached to them, this is what it says, they became sanctified through obedience to the laws of the divine ruler. There's hope. That tells us there's hope for who? For everyone. Everyone has an opportunity to be with God throughout eternity. All of us will be either one of two categories, and I emphasize that it will be one or the other when Jesus comes. Many of you know about the sinking of the Titanic. Are there any children that don't know about the Titanic? No, everybody knows about the Titanic. The story of the Titanic reveals an important truth that these two categories that I mentioned, truth about these two categories, and it resonates through the whole Bible, as you will see. Now, I want you to know, all classes of people were aboard the Titanic's maiden voyage. The wealthy people, the famous people, highly educated people, illiterate people, and poor folk down in the steerage. They were all on board for the maiden voyage of the invincible Titanic. It was claimed not even God could sink it. Then it hit an iceberg. Sadly, there were shortcuts taken in the construction that compromised the vessel's ability to withstand the impact of the iceberg. In fact, there were insufficient lifeboats for the number of passengers, thinking they would never needed them. That's how confident that this ship would never sink. You know what? Hours after the boat struck the iceberg and it sank, and people were being rescued, a list was posted in the Cunard office in New York, where the names of all who had been on board were listed in one or two of these categories. One or two of them. One was saved and the other one was lost. Nothing in between, because that's all there is. You're either saved or you're lost. That is how God sees mankind. But he does not leave us without hope. God has clearly revealed the way of salvation. All can be saved, but we have the final choice. The ark that God has for man's salvation can take everybody, every single person on planet Earth. And Jesus is that ark. About 1,600 years ago, or about 1,600 years after creation, the world was full of evil and humanism prevailed. Humanism is the work of Satan to draw you away from God, to think that you are capable of saving yourself and being able to be sustained in this world. Sorry, it is God who sustains us. It is God who gives us the ability to live every single day. The Bible tells us that there is so much evil that God repented of creating man. You can read that in Genesis chapter 6. So God had to do something about it. He directed Noah, here it is again, to build an ark, another boat. And only Noah and his family, many animals went on the ark. The rains came. The result was only two categories, lost and saved. Only eight were saved. The rest were lost because they chose to disregard Noah's preaching of the impending judgment and the mercy that God was offering them. The eight were saved because they believed and they entered the ark. The same concept is expressed in many places in the New Testament. For example, the five wise and the five foolish virgins, as well as the sheep and goats of Matthew 25, the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13. Two categories, saved and lost. Five virgins were saved, five virgins were lost. As well as the sheep were saved and the goats were lost. The wheat and the tares. The wheat was gathered in the barns, it was saved, but the tares were gathered and burnt, they were lost. Saved and lost is a very sobering thought and needs to be considered very carefully because we are the generation living just before Jesus comes. Two responsibilities lie for each one of us: to help to make sure that we're in the group that are saved and to help others to know how to be saved. God doesn't just want you to come and sit here and say, what a wonderful sermon, or, you know, that was a wonderful song, oh, yes, see you next week. No, no. He has given his followers a calling. What are we to be? The light of the world. We are to be the ones who direct people to get on the ark of salvation, to be saved. It's Jesus Christ our Lord. How are those described who are saved? I want you to turn with me. You should know this with me to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. It's a very well-known verse because it distinguishes those who are saved and those who are lost. And the Bible is very clear. If you're there with me, it says, here is the patience of the saints. Hey, that's talking about you. That's talking about me. Do you realize that? The Seventh-day Adventist Church has the remnant people of God. And it says, listen to what it says. Here are they that what? Keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. It's not really complicated. It's really not complicated at all. Those who are classed as God's saints are obedient and keep his law and believe in Jesus as their saviour. Because without Jesus, you can't keep the law. I'm going to repeat that. Without Jesus, you can't keep the law. So let's look at the law of God. The Ten Commandments written by God's own finger. Did you hear that song? Rosie picked that out last night. And I thought, praise God. I said, we need something to emphasize that God's law is not a set of rules. Did you hear what I said? It's the inward working of Jesus to transform us to have a character like God. We will delight to do the law of God. The first four commandments show our love for God, and the other six, our love for our brother, our neighbour. Let me say a word about modern thinking concerning obedience to God's law. Many today say that we can't keep the law, that it's legalistic to try to do so. But that is only a problem for those who are looking at the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law. Jesus spoke about this during the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 to 7. He showed that it is not the outward appearance that matters, but the inner person with the thoughts and the motives. These become words and actions, fruit in the life for either good or for evil. You know, Jesus doesn't leave us guessing about the commandments. You know, if you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 16 to 22. Matthew 19, verses 16 to 22. And I want you to listen carefully, because like most of us, we could ask the same question. And the Bible tells us about Jesus and the rich young man. And at verse 16, I start there. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Saved. That's what he's asking. What do I got to do to be saved? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? This is Jesus speaking. There is none but one that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he says unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Verse 19, children, listen, honour thy father and thy mother, that thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, saved, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. I want to come back for a moment to verse 16. You know, everything that God reveals to us, every one of us sitting here can work it through in our mind, and we have to make a choice. Because if we don't make a choice, everything that the Bible is revealing is only information. By the way, it's very good information. But if we don't assimilate that information into our lives and our characters are not changed, we're no different to anyone out there that's not sitting in the church today. I want to read to you verse 17 again. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, now there's a little word in there. It's a two-letter word, if. So that tells me straight away you've got a choice. The Bible tells everybody has a choice, because if the if's not there, you have no option. But if thou wilt enter into life, saved, keep the commandments. Christ Oblix Lessons, page 391, says this. Listen carefully in relation to what Jesus said. The character of God is expressed in his law. And in order for you to be in harmony with God, the principle of his law must be the spring of your action. So it has to be in you to be the spring of your action. Christ does not lessen the claims of the law. In unmistakable language, he presents obedience to it as a condition of eternal life, saved. The same condition that was required of Adam before his fall. The requirement under the covenant of grace is just as broad as the requirement made in Eden. Harmony with God's law, which is holy, just, and good. Do you love the law of God? I want to read on. I want to look in relation to verses 20 to 22. The young man said unto him, I'm reading again, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What yet lack I yet? Is there anyone who cannot claim the same as this young man? has any one of you killed anyone? Yeah, well, there's a deeper meaning to that text. But generally, the letter of the law, I don't think any one of you here has killed anybody. What about stealing? What about adultery? All these things, there is a deep meaning. There's just not the surface one. It's not just the letter of the law. It's the intent. And so look at it carefully. Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect, go. Hey, wait a minute. Can we be perfect? He must have. Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, you can be perfect. Go sell which thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And this is the catch line. Come, follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Same book, Christ Object Lessons. Continuing on, 392 and 393. The love of self is a transgressor of the law. Ooh, interesting. The love of self is the transgressor of the law. The ruler, the rich young ruler, professed to have kept the commandments, but he was destitute of the principle, which is the very spirit and life of them all. He did not possess true love for God or man. Did you hear that? He didn't possess true love for God or man. This want was the want of everything that would qualify him to enter the kingdom of God, of heaven. In his love of self and worldly gain, he was out of harmony with the principles of heaven. He wanted eternal life, but would not receive into the soul the unselfish love, which alone is life. Which alone is life. You know, as I think about it, if the young ruler had kept these laws in his heart and followed Jesus, what would have been the result? Saved. In John 17:3, Jesus defines eternal life, being saved. He says, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33. Jesus defines eternal life as knowing him and the Father. They have the Father's name being written in their foreheads according to Revelation 14:1 and 22 verse 4. In other words, they know God because they have his character. His law is written in their hearts. Those verses will reveal that. But in Jeremiah 31:33, we read, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, to the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Come over to Hebrews 8:10. Hebrews 8:10. Hebrews 8:10. You know, as I look at these things, they are very encouraging. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews 8:10. And the Bible tells us, Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. God's character is revealed in the Ten Commandments. God's law of love. Jesus said in John 14:15, this is something you should remember. It says, if ye love me, just live the good old life you're living. No, what does it say? If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, when I looked up the word commandments on the computer, it's very good. It can tell you how many times that word appears in the Bible. I think it appeared 68 times. Different references, but the same one is that these commandments are a revelation of God's character. He's a God of love. He has one purpose for you and me, that we will live through this life pushing evil aside and accepting the wonderful truths of God's soon return and being with him eternally. God's character is revealed in the Ten Commandments, God's law of love. John 14, 21. If you're there, if you want to open your Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 21. It says, "He that hath the commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Do you hear that? God is love. Jesus manifests his love to us, and in turn, we are blessed abundantly. So how important are the commandments in knowing God? Well, what did I say? Revelation 22, verse 14. It's really amazing. You know, as we try to learn scripture and we ask God for a text, there's some that we learn and then later on you realise how important they are and they can be a blessing to others. Revelation 22, verse 14, it says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Do you get it? Do you want to enter through the gates into the city? I do. There's the tree of life on the river, there beside the temple, in the temple of heaven. You know, it's just so, it seems to me, why do we make it so hard? Why aren't we excited that God's plan of salvation is not complicated? Even little children can understand that we need to ask the Holy Spirit, to God, to form the character in us, that we will be shining lights. You know, when you knock on the door, I was listening to those testimonies, and they're great to know that that's what you folk are doing. You know, do we sometimes feel afraid? If you have the secret for life and it's sure, what have you to be afraid of? God has promised to use you and to make it all possible for you. But you make the choice. You make the choice. Now look at the law of God. Seeing it is so important concerning the saved and the lost. The saved and the lost. In 1 John 5, 3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." They're not grievous. So how should we respond to God's commandments? You know, I've been talking about commandments, 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 the law, the law, the law. But you know, the ones I'm talking about were written by God's own finger. And I want to ask you this morning, and don't be ashamed. I'm not here to make you feel uncomfortable. For many years as an Adventist, a young Adventist, I heard about the commandments too. And I lived what, you know, I was taught, you know, what the preacher was preaching about. And all I wanted to know, don't tell me all this other stuff. Just tell me what God wants me to do and I'll do it. Have any of you thought like that? I don't need to know the rest. Just tell me what God wants me to do and I'll do it. But you know, I was ignorant, because I soon learned, one, I didn't know the Ten Commandments. The second one is, I could never keep them. You know, to look upon a woman and lust after, I'm a man. If a woman is exposing herself in a way to lust, it's a reality. You look. But looking is the same as involved in the action. There was a lot of things I didn't understand. Stealing. All those things. Well, if I'm selling my car to one of my church members and he doesn't know what I paid for it and I charge another $2,000 more than I paid for it, am I stealing? Or if I'm at work and the boss is not around and I flick my computer over to YouTube and start watching something, am I stealing? There's a whole lot of things in there. So I want to ask you, this is the question. How many of you have learned the Ten Commandments and put them in here? My wife has. There are some. Yeah? There are 10 of them. Exodus chapter 22 to 17. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I want you to think about the very first one. Because in that one, that same God who brought the Egyptians out of bondage is bringing you out of bondage. You know what that bondage is?
Sin.
More than that. It's this world. This world is not your home. Your home is the kingdom that God has prepared for you. He wants to take you out of bondage and free you to be with him in his home. Thou shalt not make any graven image of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is under the water in the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity upon the fathers unto the children of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. What have you made? What are the gods that you've made? Do you worship anything under heaven or on this earth or under the waters of this earth? I want to tell you, look closely. God's mercy flows to 1,000 who believe and keep his commandments. And then it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Have you thought about that? You claim to be the light of the world. You claim to be Christians. You claim to be spreading the gospel and telling others. Don't say you're a Christian and live contrary to the name. We are to uplift God in our lives. We are to be loyal to him and uphold him before the universe, before the people, before where you work, before where the children play amongst other children. And then there's this one that we all know because we're sitting here today. Remember the Sabbath day. Now just stop for a minute. When I was learning that as a Seventh-day Adventist, the first thing that was in my mind was remember the Sabbath day. But it didn't stop there as I learnt it. It changes. It says remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy stranger that, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all them in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You know, that's something that resonates every single week. I hope it does for you, because it's a delight. It should be a delight. There should be, you know why it becomes a delight? Because you're meeting with other people of the like of like faith. It isn't time to sleep, I'm sorry. It's time to listen to what God is saying. The commandments of God are imperative to the saved and disregarded by the lost. Children, are you listening? Because this is the next one. It says, honour thy father and thy mother. Well, do we teach our children about honour? It's a little bit about respect. We need to show respect to our parents. And we should be helping them. We shouldn't put all the burden upon our children. Upon our parents, I beg your pardon. Our children should be responsible, even if they are very small. We have a grandson, Elijah, and we bought him a broom for his birthday, his first birthday, and told him, Mum sweeps and he sweeps. Well, he then got used to that idea. He wanted to vacuum, and he got the real vacuum cleaner and started vacuuming. And then he came out, and I said, Elijah, there's a shovel here for you, and I'm going to teach you how to use it. And he dug. He didn't know how to use a shovel. I don't know. I would like to ask how many of you out here how to know to use a shovel. And you would all say, yeah, I know how to use a shovel. But, you know, I said, you can either use a shovel and wear yourself out, or you can use a shovel and work all day. And I showed him, if the ground's hard, Elijah, you have to put your foot on the shovel and push it in. And if you have... I'm getting messages. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry about that, folk. And so he learned very quickly how to use a shovel. He has a dedicated shovel at our place, and he doesn't play. Do you hear what I said? He's 2 years old, and he doesn't play with the shovel. He actually uses it. He told Rosemary when she was using the shovel, you're not using the shovel right, Grandma. You have to put your foot on it. I'm not joking. We train them young, and this is young people sitting in the church. If we train them about the commandments of God, they will not venture beyond what God has said to bless them. What's the next one? Thou shalt not kill. It's pretty self-explanatory. But you know, we kill one another in the church so easily. You know what one unkind word can do for someone in the church? Do you know a lot of people walk out the door and you never see him again just because of one kind word or a judgment or a prejudgment without knowing all the facts? And the other one is, if you want a message to go around the world, tell an Adventist. And it'll happen. Tragedy. It's tragic. You know what Jesus did when he was accused? What did he do? He kept silent. And he went to his father, because the father can resolve every problem in the church as long as we give it to him. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Ooh, I could spend a whole day on that, because we're living in an immoral world. Every manner of evil is abounding, and immorality. I know, I've heard a woman said they're going to get every married husband that they can. Did you hear what I said? There's planned adultery. It just tells us we're on the edge of the greatest crisis And we need to have our eyes open, but put them back on Jesus. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not steal. There's just so much in there. I haven't got time. They are the simple ones. They can be done in a literal sense. Do you hear what I'm saying? But it's the intent that's going on inside us when we look at those. We can justify a lot of things for what we do. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Now it's interesting, Jesus wrote, against who? Thy neighbour. Because you have a sphere of influence. Every single one of you has a sphere of influence. We can't, we don't bear false witness to the whole world. We just bear false witness to those we come in contact every day. You hearing me? So don't do it. Make the intent of your heart to be like Jesus. He never accused anybody. And the last one, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbour's. Remember I said, we have a sphere of influence and it revolves around where we live and it's our neighbours and those we come in contact with every day. In John 1 John 5:3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So how should we respond to God's commandment? How should we respond? In Psalms 119 and verse 127, go there with me, because this is the thought that I want you to carry away. This is a thought I want you to carry away. It's so important to being saved and lost. Listen to what it says. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. It's more precious than just gold. It's fine gold, pure. Friends, God's commandments are not grievous. Solomon, in his God-given wisdom, sometimes I think about that when you read his stories and what he did, says it so well in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God. What does it say? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Friends, I want to tell you, today is the time to repent and seek forgiveness and to step on that boat, the ark that can save us. It's Jesus Christ, our Saviour. He will take you through. It will be pronounced saved. As we sing hymn number 306, make these words draw me nearer each day, becoming a reality for you. May it inspire you. May it bring joy to you and those around you. Thank you, Marilyn. In heaven, I want to commend this book to everybody that's standing here today. That they will take it and use it for your glory and for your honour, bringing people into the ark, into that boat, Jesus Christ, that we one day will all rejoice together, and the whole universe and all the angels of God, because we have believed and practiced what you have told us to do. Help us to have the commandments of God in our hearts and in our minds, May we love you and serve you these coming days until Jesus comes, is my prayer. Amen.